Good morning. Welcome to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Graddick, your host. Delighted to have you with us, and almost Happy New Year. I hope everyone had a wonderful and Merry Christmas. We're very pleased to have in studio today Michelle Morgan, Carroll County Commission Chair. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy New Year.
Yes, Happy New Year. There's probably about three, four, five, six people in Carroll County who do not know who you are. So on behalf of them, let me give you a little bio for these listeners who possibly, it's hard to believe, don't know who you are. Michelle originally came to Carrollton to attend the University of West Georgia, where she earned both a Bachelor and Master of Business Administration. While at UWG, Michelle fell in love with Carroll County. It's a love story, and chose to make it her home. Shortly after graduation, she became an entrepreneur by opening a Likely Story Book Center. She had been director of the People and Community for Morgan Oral for over 20 years. She was first elected in 2014 to serve as District 4 Commissioner, and in August 2019, she became chairman. Okay, here now we got the big long list. She's a member of the Carrollton Rotary Club, Carrollton Civic Women's Club, Lit Moo and Spade and Travel Garden Club. She's a master gardener. She's involved in live art, Carroll County Mental Health Advocates, West Georgia Council on Aging, and Friends of the Association of Remarkable Citizens. Besides continuing to volunteer for these and many other organizations, she serves on the Carrollton Payroll Development Authority, Carroll County Board of Health, Three Rivers Commission, and the Chamber Board of Directors. Okay, there's a lot here. She's earned her certification as County Commissioner from the Carl Vinson Institute of Government, the University of Georgia. She's earned specialty certifications in economic community development, intergovernmental relations, county operations and management, public safety, revenue, and finance. And wrapping this up, she was elected to serve on the Association of County Commissioners Board of Managers representing 10 counties, including Heard, Coweta, and Troop. In 2021, she was elected to the Association of County Commissioners Agricultural and Rural Affairs Steering Committee. She has three kids, and her husband, Jimmy, owns Morgan Oil Company, a 90-year-old fourth-generation family business. Now I can breathe. But thank you for coming in. Thank you for the sourdough bread. And future, I guess, take note, homemade bread. Well, let's kind of jump into it. There's so much to recap. At the end, the purpose of coming in this morning, obviously, is kind of recap the previous year and, report to our audience, if you will. A lot of things that we won't have time to go over all of them, but probably the most visible thing is the new admin building on College Street, what was the College Street Annex that we all spent a lot of time in. Tell us about the construction project. How's it going?
It's going great. I'm there several times a week. It's just, walking with friends, going out and running. So we always kind of put that on the path. It amazes me every time I go how much something new has happened. I mean, all of a sudden the three stories are up and you're like, wow. We've been picking out brick. I've gotten several of the neighbors to go by and choose the one they like. Luckily, six of them chose the same one, but I figure if they're going to be living there, they're going to be looking at it more than I am. So it's been quite a
when you
fun
go down
project.
There, when you go down there, you're a little bit surprised because it's not your standard government-looking building.
No, we decided because we are more in a historical area. A lot of the homes have been there in the 20s. And it is a neighborhood, so we mm-hmm. wanted to build something that reflected very well for the neighbors. We look back the 1850, 1860-ish courthouse. There's several pictures of it, paintings of it around the community. We decided that would best reflect what was Carroll County and the area. The other is because it's four-sided. There's not really a front and a back when you think of a lot of buildings. So we wanted to make sure every side was appealing to those living or working in that area.
Is parking going to be okay?
Yes, it is.
Okay. But everything should be there, right? So it shouldn't be any confusion going forward about where something is.
Right, right. It all should be right one stop. Not that citizens necessarily go to every department in one day, but just making it where when you need to go somewhere, if you need a fire report or if you need to vote or get your taxes, you know the location you're supposed to go in. It's not three different places and trying to figure out which one is which.
you know, for a long time before y'all moved temporarily into the old West Georgia Technical College building, the question was, what's going to happen to that building? Now that you're moving out, the question again resurfaces, what's going to happen to that property in that building?
So we're going to ask the citizens to renew a SPLOST in November of 2025, so about a year from now. And part of that renewal SPLOST is going to be to build a sheriff's office that is conducive to the business they're now doing. You know, the building is over 50 years old, the current sheriff's office. And you think back 50 years ago, the number of staff, and we've, you know, just got 200 something people now that work for the sheriff's office. We need to make sure that they can do business in the area they're doing. So what we plan to do is we'll move out into the new building. And I hope, thankfully, or I want to be thankful that the citizens will renew the SPLOST in November 2025. We can move the sheriff's office into those current offices. Like, we're just going to keep repurposing as best we can and then build the sheriff's office right there where it currently is. We leave the jail. The jail's not going. And rebuild across the street. That'll put us 4 or 5 years into the future. The idea, too, at some point, and there again, I plan to be living, plan to be a citizen here, we need rec space. And West Georgia Tech backs up the 997 building, connects all to our rec department. We need more space for the kids, more fields. So I see this constantly being repurposed for county needs.
So when you say repurpose, you're refurbishing, you're not tearing down and building something new and...
No, not for the sheriff's. Like I said, the sheriff's just going to move in the current offices that we have. You know, we changed classrooms into offices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had to add a few bathrooms. One of the things about the old West Georgia Tech classroom space, all that, all the bathrooms were outside. There was one set of bathrooms for females, one set of bathrooms for men. So we've had to kind of repurpose a little bit so that it's conducive to people being in offices, not in classroom spaces. So the sheriff's office will be able to move right into those same office spaces we're using now. So less than $100,000 was spent on repurposing classrooms for office space. And, you know, we'll be there almost 2 years, and by the time the sheriff's office is there, I think it's money well spent for the employees and for the citizens who have to use this temporary space.
Okay, very good. Let's take a break, kind of a little bit early break, and we got a lot of topics we want to talk about. So stay with us. We got more coming up after these words.
Consider the Mobius strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop, seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at Tanner.org.
The customized academic scholar journey at Oak Mountain Academy is individually designed to provide students with a personalized, clearly defined academic track that earns the student a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically driven students to pursue a focused, rigorous course of study personalized to their wants and desires. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Good morning. Welcome back to Community Voice. We've got Michelle Morgan in studio, live and in person, Carroll County Commission Chair. Last time you were on, it was in July. You stated the following.
Okay, remind me.
Carroll County is made up of 380,000 acres, okay? 288,000 of those are zoned agricultural. I also learned that there are currently 806 farms in Carroll County of the average size of 100 acres, okay? So what I'm kind of leading into this, over the weekend I spoke to two gentlemen. One is bought a house in Harris County outside of Columbus, and he said Harris County requires any single family dwelling to be on 2.5 acres. I talked to another gentleman who's grown up and lives in Cobb County. He says whenever they can find some unused property, unused land, they'll put an apartment building on it. So my question is, what kind of restrictions or whatever, what's the minimum lot size for like a single family dwelling in Carroll County as it pertains to kind of preserving the rural lifestyle and rural heritage?
So in the unincorporated parts of Carroll County, because remember each of the cities have their own zoning also, but in the unincorporated parts, we require a minimum of 4 acres in the zoned agricultural area. Now there's some areas that are zoned residential. We have 170 neighborhoods actually in the unincorporated part of Carroll County. Those in the past have ranged from a half acre to an acre to even bigger. We recently did like an overhaul of some of our ordinances because mainly the Board of Health also made some rules a couple of years ago that people's septic tanks are starting to fail. So we now require in unincorporated Carroll County, if you're going to do residential area, a minimum of 1 acre, and that is to preserve an area for a septic tank because we don't have sewer in the unincorporated parts of Carroll County. So you have to have land to provide for that septic tank. So it's not just a random number. There's a lot of science, I guess, behind it or planning to assure that citizens who build a home are able to, you know, continue to live in that home for a while without problems, you know. So we've learned from past, you know, how things need to go forward. So it's
but
a minimum
even
1 acre.
An acre in some situations is not enough for a septic tank.
Well, it's not right if the land doesn't perk and stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's where you then go into the community development. You sit down with our planners, you know, the builders sit down, the homeowners, and they plan for some of it. So you'll see some areas where somebody does have 2 acres.
Mm-hmm. And then in the context of that's kind of a lead in to the question is we are all concerned. I mean, not we all, but many are concerned about Carroll County remaining the agricultural hub that it is, which is absolutely totally remarkable being adjacent to Fulton County in the southeast corner and be so close to all these crazy metro Atlanta counties. How do you see that preservation being?
Well, a lot of it is people got to remember that we have working farms here. These are businesses that people are providing every day, you know, beef and chicken and food for those of us that need to eat every day. So when we say farms, we have businesses. Our farms are working farms. And that puts us, you know, in the state of Georgia as a commodity. Now, I'm not looking for the word commodity. We were just talking a few minutes ago about how early it is and I hadn't had my second cup of coffee yet. But anyway, you know, talking about how it's not just farms you drive by and see green space. It is actual working businesses.
For-profit business.
Economics for Carroll County.
Private
that's what I'm
sector.
Coming out with. It's our economic hub, and that's what makes us what we are right this moment. And as long as there are people who want to farm economically, we need to make sure we provide for them the resources and the help. And on the other hand, it makes it really beautiful for the rest of us driving into work every day or driving home or just wanting to drive around the community. But they are working businesses, no different than like our convenience stores and the things that other people do.
That's the core of it. You can 20 minutes, you're out with the birds and the chickens and the cows and the rest, and 20 minutes later, you're downtown or whatever.
Right.
It's just really unique.
But they are providing a service or providing funds to our community. So.
But the threat is, you know, 100 acres, you can squeeze a whole lot of half-acre lots into 100 acres and a whole lot of one on top of one another homes. So,
okay.
Also along those lines, for the longest, we've had the question of the rock quarry down in the southern part of the county. What's the latest tabulation on that?
So, you know, we lost the lawsuit on that one. It was also then purchased by Vulcan.
Which is a timber company, right?
No, Vulcan is another rock quarry that's been in Carroll County, I mean, 20, 30 years. I mean, I think it's been there as long as I've been here.
Okay.
Up 61 off Flat Rock, if I've got my geography correct. So I don't know what they're planning to do with it at this point.
I'm talking about the one in South Carroll. Not Paulding County.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm talking about, too.
Okay.
Whitesburg, yes, that area. So, yes, the other one, thankfully, Paulding County Commission voted against it, too, because it backed up to so many of our citizens.
So we still really don't know about the one in Carroll exactly what the future may be. Give us an update on fire stations and fire safety. I know we got the Villa Rica station up and going.
We do.
Everything's fully staffed now, right?
Yes. Knock on. Well, here's a little piece of wood. Knock on wood.
Fake wood.
Yeah. Yes. So, all doing well. We've worked really hard. Alicia Searcy, the finance director, and I, along with the support of the Board of Commissioners, to really make it a mission over the last several years to bring pay up to the county employees, to be competitive not only with our local cities but our surrounding counties, because there's nothing worse than training people and investing in them than having to leave your area. Or as well as these are our county citizens that are having to get on the road and drive to another county to get a job. So I think we've done a really, really good, I'd like to say great, we still got some areas we need to go in to make sure that our pay is competitive.
Okay. And that's been a big burden, almost a hurdle at least,
to get this done. But yes, we're seeing these young students working through the College and Career Academy, you know, getting their jailer certificate, working to get their firefighter one. So the fact that even our younger citizens are wanting to get into public safety, you know, that's a hurdle of itself, you know, over the last years when you think about what's been on the news, just getting people to even want to go into public safety, mm-hmm. and then making sure that we have the proper resources to take care of them and keep them safe, as well as, you know, give them the pay that
Again,
they deserve.
Again, kind of when Metro Atlanta is going to pay a little bit more.
Yeah.
I think y'all did a study back in October, Safe Streets and Safe Roads.
We're still working on that, yes. We're waiting for the company to put it all together. So we've had several stakeholder meetings with different members of our cities, with county staff, and then we've opened it up to the public. We had a survey. Mainly in the county, we're looking at ways to receive funding to restripe roads, to add shoulders onto the roads.
Shoulders are very important.
Shoulders are very important, but then, you know, some people will still go off the shoulder too, you know. But the whole thing is just trying to take rural roads and bring them into the, you know, more modern world. But the painting, striping a road is so expensive because now it's got all those, I want to say glitters, you know.
Reflectors.
Reflectors, but also the way cars are built now, newer cars, your seat will vibrate if you go too far to the left or too far to the right. You know, if you've got that
well,
turned
that's
on.
That's what's been going
and
on.
That's what
I didn't
comes
know
from
what
the paint.
Vibration
yes,
was.
It okay. comes from the paint. So you've got to, we've got to upgrade our paint too for these. So we hire a company that does that. We do not do that in-house.
Do you do those little rumble things?
No, we do the rumble strips in-house, yes. So we try to go into areas that are requested. There again, they make noise. So the surrounding homes got to be able to, they want to have those too. So
yeah, because that's annoying to the homeowner.
That's right.
You know.
So we've got to be conscious when we're going down roads, realizing that we're driving through someone else's neighborhood. So we need to be conscious of that. How we'd want them to go through our streets.
Overall, as you look back on 2024, you know, I know, as they say, whether it's State of the Union, State of the State, whatever, State of the County, overall still good, correct?
I would agree, yes. I was sitting there thinking because I'll be making my notes for the State of the County at the end of January with the Chamber Breakfast. And I was looking back over the last couple of years, you know, originally when I first took office, it had just been, you know, COVID had just been here and, you know, the number of people who had exited the workforce and having to try and run a county and give the services that people want with a lesser staff. And then looking, you know, to last year and showing people what does Carroll County really look like. And that's where, you know, the number of farms came in because we don't think about that. When we think of farms, do people think of 10-acre farms? Do people think of 100 or 1,000-acre farms? And really trying to explain to people what is Carroll County, what do we look like, and what do we provide to everybody? So now I'm in a thinking what my words are going to be for 2025.
Okay, well, maybe we can we can help with that. I understand, and part of that is it's often referred to as preservation of green space. We do have a lot of parks in Carroll County. Do we have enough now, or have we maximized, or what's the latest, and how, and particularly McIntosh, where do we stand on all that?
So the word park can be small, or it could be large. So like our cities have parks, but they're not the acreage that we have. So Macintosh, we have expanded. We've doubled Macintosh, actually even added another 300-ish acres on the other side. And, you know, we're looking at anytime you have the opportunity to purchase land, of course, along the Chattahoochee, or purchase land to kind of bring your history back, it is a good thing when counties can do that to provide green space, because you know you can't get that back. The other is looking at it and going, okay, if we purchase this land, what are we taking away? So the land that we have been adding on is really not buildable for homes, or it's not where you really want to put a big neighborhood, because you got to look at the infrastructure. You know, people who live rural, and then those who live in neighborhoods, we tend to want our services.
Is it suitable for farming? Any particular crops that are?
They were timber.
It's just timber.
That's right. It was all timber. So, mm-hmm. And the timber company's exited and gone more south. So it's not been where we're taking away from the chickens and the cows and the food. It was really just timber.
Don't forget the goats.
And the goats.
And we'll be back with more. We're talking to Michelle Morgan. She's Carroll County Commission Chair, as we kind of reflect upon 2024. And I'm saving the trick questions for this last segment. And we'll be back with more after this.
Consider the Mobius strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop. Seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at Tanner.org.
The World Language Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined, curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in biliteracy fields of study. The successful completion of this journey provides colleges with a method to recognize a rigorous foreign language immersion experience for all students at Oak Mountain Academy. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Community Center, Community Voice. I don't know. It's Monday morning.
At least we're not the Convenience Center. Right. Hey, we're not dropping off our trees.
You know, it's Christmas holidays. give me a break. And we're going to be meeting at the Community Center later on, I'm sure. Speaking of centers, I guess that's where this came from. So, and this is, we may part a little bit on this one. We have an event center coming up, correct?
Yes.
And I understand it's 70 acres.
Yes.
At 2.7 mil.
Yes.
Okay. Why?
So, and I want to kind of clarify, we use the word event center, and I want to make sure that we don't make it sound like we're taking away from our brick and mortar event centers, our private businesses.
Okay, convince me.
So I need to kind of rephrase that. Event center kind of incorporates a lot of things. But what we found, the Ag Center is like the most used facility in the entire county, with a wait list even. So the demand for using the Ag Center, and then it was being used for a lot of activities and events that didn't even go with agricultural, to where the agricultural group was being bumped from using the facility. So we put a committee together representing different areas of the county, as well as different interests that they have. And we've found that we needed to purchase land to provide a rodeo. So a facility that we can do rodeos in, concerts in, more like what the fairgrounds used to be way back when we were first going to fairgrounds. And then another separate building. So we're planning to do two buildings. And the second one would be where you'd have more like gun and knife shows. You'd have these activities. We were having birthday parties and weddings, but we do have other areas. And I think I'd like to send people more to the private sector for those. But so many events that were happening that were taking away from the ag. You know, we've got an ag agent who has a wait list to teach jam classes, to teach soups, canning, and we were finding that we weren't able to do those kinds of things. So this came out of a need from the community that made us start looking for land and purchase land.
Okay, well, we'll bring you back and we'll go more in depth on that when time allots. This year, everybody like me was patting ourselves on the back when we get our property appraisal and all of a sudden, you know, we're rich. Find out everybody else is rich too. But if I'm not mistaken, the county did a full millage rollback, correct?
Yes.
So that appraisal increase didn't impact us in net. Correct.
Yes. I always want to remind people that as long as I've been in office, we have either done a full or a partial rollback. You know, we have built the budget to take just enough to need to provide you the services that you want. Now, gosh, I would love to have a lot more to do a lot more with, but we're trying to be responsible on our end. So I just want to make sure we get credit for that, because not every one of the other entities on your tax bill have done a partial or a full rollback. We recognize that property values have gone up. I mean, we're all excited. We're sitting there going, oh my gosh, you know, who would have ever thought growing up I was going to live in a house of this value? Well, that all stems from people who sell their houses, what they sell it for. It's not made up numbers. We follow, the Board of Assessors has to follow state laws and rules. So that's what kind of puts us in this boat. But we try to be very conscious in knowing that your house is growing in value, that we don't take advantage of that. But also I want to remind the citizens too that our gas bill goes up, our electric bill goes up, the cost of running county business goes up too, just the same as every one of us in our home budget.
I can't remember who, but it was years ago somebody said to me, Steve, you know, and I think they were talking about the federal government, you can cut, you know, 3-4% of any governmental organization, and even in the private sector, you can cut 2-6% of an organization or entity and not really miss it. Do y'all look at that when you look at the efficiency of county government?
I think the county government has ran so far sometimes below the level of being able to provide things. It almost puts you in
so it's not an issue.
A problem that you are not providing. Like if you're not providing those firefighters and your deputies with the proper equipment, it almost puts you backwards, you know. It almost puts you
in a
problem. So,
yeah, but as we've talked before in the program, you know, the highest priority of government is protecting the lives and property of its citizens.
Yes.
So with that, after that's done, when we look at other and I won't name them, but the other things in government would be at county, state, or federal. You know, you pretty much, and even in the private sector, even what I do, you know, you're always looking for better efficiencies, cutting unnecessary costs when you can cut.
I think my husband always said it too, was when you don't have any money is when you really start looking at your finances and you look to see what you can cut. Like, it's one of those things you sit there and when you're making money, it's just easy to
spend money.
Go to the, you know, Home Depot, the Lowe's and get what you need. But when you don't have money, you got to go back to that warehouse and go, do we already have the lights, bulbs? Do we already have the stuff that we just have put to the side? So in county government, you know, we are way over the 50% mark in spending on public safety. So very little of that is left for your rec department, your parks, elections. You know, when you start thinking of what you might want to call frivolous stuff, but really is quality of life for our citizens. We really don't spend as much on those as people might want to think that we do.
Okay. But expenses are always on the table.
We are looking at them every month, if not every week. I mean, constantly. I pay the bills every single day. They're created in the system. I go on and log on to look at them. And I look to see who we're paying and what we're paying. And has it gone up for the month before, the week before? So I've always got my eyes on those.
Yeah, and that's likewise when I did the first introduction, because of your history with the Morgan Oil Company. Mm-hmm. That, you know, that's just a given that you do that.
Right. I just look at numbers and just know what is consistent, and if there's something that's really gone big. You know that in the private business world too. You know what your monthly expenses are, and all of a sudden if they're a little higher, you're like, ooh, what happened? You know, did we have a water break somewhere, or did prices start going up? You really pay attention to those. I think too, from the convenience store industry, we saw inflation before everybody else did back in 2008. And I hate to sound like I'm harping on 20-something years ago, but honestly, these things sit with you as you mature in life. And I remember looking and thinking how expensive things have gotten. Like, even now, my daughter said something the other day about getting something at the grocery store. And I'm like, yes, because I remember... And there you go, you start to age yourself. I remember my first job, I made $1.90 an hour.
Oh, I know.
You know? Yeah, I know. And we were still able to provide dinner and gas and go to school and stuff. So, you know, if we could go back that way, but that means everything else has to go back that way too.
In the oil business and the gas business, when, you know,
we follow it regularly.
A gallon of gasoline was 40 cents or whatever.
Oh, yeah. So you start to see what that adds up to. And you see that those kind of things you see first, groceries, everyone sees it in the groceries. You go to the grocery store and you start seeing that how it goes up every month and you think, okay, what did I purchase that I don't need next week, you know? And then even then, so I think we all ebb and flow with that.
I think that's the problem with government is a lot of times they lose sight of that. And so whoever we elect, whoever's in charge of government doesn't understand because they can just take it through the tax.
So I'm glad you said we because it's not me doing it. It's our state and federal people because I do. I keep my eye on it on a regular basis and, you know, I'll call a department head and say, what's this for? And you know, why are we doing this? And do we absolutely have to have it? And if you think about it too, the department heads have to come before the Board of Commissioners to get approval before expenses. So we are so transparent, I feel like, because we do advertise. We put our agenda out there as the private sector coming through. We do, technically, we advertise our agenda. We advertise to the citizens what we're going to be possibly spending money on so they can weigh in before we raise our hands. So, you know, I think locally you get your best way of knowing how your tax dollars are spent. The state and federal government, I mean, do we ever really know unless we read that 1,500 pages that came out, you know, several weeks ago? I mean, who reads 1,500 pages unless you're reading Gone with the Wind?
To like 1,200 pages or whatever.
Oh, they reduced it to 1,200? Okay.
Yeah.
But it's not a fun novel.
Well, it's kind of like the state budget. There's so much of it is, in, you know, already allocated, be it to, in the state, you know, 53% or so is allocated to education.
Yes.
It's very hard to touch that. Mm-hmm. You know, you got Social Security, Medicare. At the federal level, very hard to touch that. You don't want to touch, you know, like the Sheriff's Department here, you don't want to touch the Defense Department. Anyway, well, we're going to wrap it up. Understand next year is how many years the anniversary is coming up for Carroll County?
2026, 200 years.
200?
200.
Okay. All right, 200 years. And we're going to get the grandsons, granddaughters of Charles Carroll to come down and celebrate with us.
Okay, yeah. On Ancestry.com. I got to figure out. That's a new one for me, yeah, Steve. That, okay, I hadn't thought about that one.
but anyway, so do we have any big plans to really mark 200 years Carroll County?
Not quite yet. I've talked to several different people in the community, you know, waiting to see, I hate to say it, waiting to see if I got reelected, because if I didn't, I was going to think about other things that I wanted to be doing in life. But I've already talked with some people at the library. I've talked with, you know, the arts people. We've talked to some other people in the Kent community. That's next on my list, to put a bunch of people together to weigh in to see what do we want to do? How do we want to celebrate? I'm sure we'll do something at the 4th of July. In 2026, I'm sure the symphony might want to help us.
Be delighted.
Thank you.
All right. Our guest this morning has been Michelle Morgan, Carroll County Commission Chair, as she wraps up 2024. And we've got a great, very optimistic 2025 ahead of us. And she'll have a State of the County address, I think, with the Chamber coming up in January. So anyway, thank you for listening. Thank you to our sponsors. Go out and make it a great day. You're in tune to WLBB Carrollton.